Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are talking about the solid foundation of Christ and exploring how a lie believed as truth can get us on sinking sand.
And the Bible says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Mm-hmm. Okay, the faith is in a person. So I used to think if it says in a faith, it means, are you saved or are you not saved? Well, I know I'm saved, so why am I keep examining to see if I'm in the faith? If I'm keeping in that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the object of my faith.
Janie, I want to share a quote that you shared with me several times that has really affected my thought process.
Okay.
And helped me keep some balance.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say created confusion. I was going, oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Okay. So last week we talked about truth being a person.
Yes.
That's Jesus Christ. And this quote says, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true, even though it is a lie.
Okay.
And that quote has really brought a whole lot of understanding for me as to some of the things that I've dealt with and my foundation, it being unstable. Because I had built some of my life on the foundation of a lie.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of that had to do with some of the things that I grew up understanding and knowing, not knowing, understanding that I thought I knew.
Which is what makes it a myth and a lie.
Right.
Well, let's see if we can put some practicalness to that, because it is kind of a tongue twister.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying a lie, something that is not true to begin with,
right,
but we're going to believe it's true, is going to have an effect on me as though it really was true.
And the reason why is because we live it as if it is true in our lives.
That's the way it affects us. And so now we're living the life of lies,
mm-hmm.
A living lie. And then we wonder why we have trouble with the enemy. We wonder why we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit,
uh-huh.
Who is begging us almost to say, hear me, hear what, mm-hmm. I say. I want to keep you in an intimate relationship.
Well, the book of Proverbs is every chapter in the book of Proverbs says, hear me.
Yes.
Listen to my voice. Listen to my words. Bind them on your heart. Strap them to your eyeballs.
Well, and you're giving good counsel here, Sharon, right now, that as we start to build a foundation of truth, for somebody to make a commitment to say, I'm going to read the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, mm-hmm. and I'm going to read it once a month for 12 months. You will find things bursting out, mm-hmm. as you meditate on those and as different circumstances evolve in your life, that all of a sudden something in Proverbs 16 that you never really looked at before jumps out at you.
Yeah.
Or,
I've had that happen already. I've been going through the book of Proverbs with my kids during the school days. We have a devotion, and it's based in the book of Proverbs. Of course, we're not doing a whole chapter at a time, just a few verses. But there are things in there that have just really jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read through the book several times, but just taking small portions of it and trying to explain it to my children on their level, mm-hmm. Has really helped me as well.
What lie, what kind of practical lie could we believe? I'm going to say the world tells us what?
Well, I would say that one that I've heard a lot is, I am the way I am and I cannot change.
Oh, okay.
That this is the way I am. This is the way I grew up. This is the way I always do things. I can't change.
Well, you know, the only person that can say that in truth is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I change not. For the rest of us, we are changing. We are growing. We are growing towards the truth, or we are growing away from the truth. Okay. But we are not like the...
We are never sitting still.
Still. No. Okay. No. We're either going forward or we're going backwards.
So the idea that we're sitting stagnant is not really true. The fact is, we're really just growing further away from the Lord.
Yes.
Okay.
That goes along with James, that, you know, when you first find out about sin, it seems like fun, but when it's conceived, uh-huh. it gets worse, and then eventually it brings death. Yeah. So to think that we can just remain neutral in the Christian life is a lie.
Okay.
It's a lie. But let's just give an example for somebody saying, my word, girls, are you just giving me challenging conversations or tongue twisters this morning? So let's just say that money provides security and happiness, and I believe that to be true. So then I'm going to start to put what I think, what I pursue, towards that goal. Okay. I need the money for happiness and security. So my life is going to start to get manifested in things like workaholism or materialism.
Right.
You know, you never have enough. I think they asked the richest man in the world, how much is enough? And his response was, just a little more than what I have.
Wow.
And that's the richest person in the world at that time. And then if we think that we have to have security, then we're even going to go into greed. What will give me security? And we can become very greedy. And it doesn't
just... Because I can't give anything away. It'll take away my security.
That's right. And so that can even extend into friends. That can extend into the selfishness in relationships. It can, unfortunately, result in being dishonest because there is dishonest gain.
Right.
And then you can, in the emotional realm, jealousy and envy will come in because you have it and I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And or you have it and I don't think you should have it and I want to take it away from you so I can have it.
Right.
So you see, that's a lie, but your whole life can get entwined in that. And then you start to have people problems. You start to have health problems and you're thinking, what's wrong? Why am I so in the pits if life is supposed to be a bowl full of cherries?
Right.
Okay, it's because you're believing a lie. And then you can take the one that I think you mentioned earlier, I am the way I am, I can't change. Well, then however you choose to think about yourself, and let's just say you've had some tough goes in your early life. Then you have...
Failures.
Mm-hmm. Shame from maybe some abuses that have happened to you.
Or wrong decisions.
Oh.
Shame from wrong decisions.
And Sharon, the sobriety of one wrong decision.
Yeah.
I just always go back and say, if you don't think one wrong decision can't have an impact, look at what happened in the Garden of Eden on one wrong decision.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So every decision counts because we are given opportunities from the Lord. And every opportunity, we have the will to make the right choice or the wrong choice that will impact us.
Right. And we can also say, look at Judas.
Yes.
You know, that was one wrong decision that it... And look what he did to himself because of it.
Yes. Well, and then you said something earlier about going passive. There is really no passivity in a true life, but living a lie, people will retreat. I can't handle the outside world, so they escape into their games or their electronics, and they separate.
Or a movie. We talked about that.
Yes.
A movie or episodes or something.
Anything to just be passive, to be away from the negative feeling in the spirit and in the soul that can result in all kinds of devastation. Because we only have two places to spend for our final home. One is heaven and one is hell. And I'm going to use a very familiar phrase of real estate agents. And I'm going to say, heaven or hell? Location, location, location. You know, where is the most delightful property that you can purchase? Well, you look at your surroundings, you look at the benefits, you look at the creation, the trees, the river, the mountains, the sea, whatever you want to live by. Location, location, location. Go to the scriptures and find out what it tells you about the location of hell, and then see what it tells you about the location of heaven. Now, heaven is not only a location, it is a quality of life, as well as a quantity of life, as well as a place. Hell, where the worm dieth not. Hell was never created for human beings.
Yeah, would you please say that again?
That hell was never made for human beings.
That's right.
It was made for the angels that left their first estate and were in chains, or in chains right now, and for the devil and his team.
Right.
Okay? And then it says, and I cannot quote you the verse today, I can't pull it up because it's just impromptu here, that the Lord didn't even create hell for human beings, but it had to be enlarged. Now that brings to my heart grief and distress, mm-hmm. that so many people reject the living waters, reject an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
We reject the truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth.
And so I can only say amen to that. And then what makes it so difficult? I mean, we're talking like this should be a done deal. We are talking like anybody with any sort of brain at all would automatically choose, but we know the majority of them reject it. And so I have to say the next building block that we need in our foundation is faith.
Okay.
And we did talk about faith last week, that it is necessary, but it wouldn't probably hurt if I can find my scriptures here that I kind of try to keep close by.
Do you know what verse it was?
It's in Hebrews.
Oh.
The just must live by faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen.
That's Hebrews 11, 1.
And then I think 11:6.
There it is.
Yes. Okay.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1 and 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
So the faith, some people will say, well, you know, just because you're a weak character, you have to rely on your faith, but that's just something weak. We have evidence. We have evidence in science. We have evidence in medicine that you can have a life that has meaning and purpose without having to have faith. And this is the tone of an atheistic view. So, Sharon, I'm going to move us a little bit to a side trail here right now, because we are speaking and people hear the truth and they read the truth. So they hear the mouth gate. Remember our senses? Mm-hmm. They hear mm-hmm. with their ears.
They hear with their ears.
And they see with their eyes. Mm-hmm. All right. But the mouth is so abundantly stronger in the fact that we are communicators and we listen, and our lives are filled with external forces speaking, TV, in our education,
right.
even in our churches. So I want us to go over and just give a little bit of scripture to the tongue.
Okay.
Because the tongue is a member that is stronger than some armies. There is a verse that really kind of knocks it out of the ballpark as far as the strength of the tongue. And that's in Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, I can hear the truth from your mouth, and it can encourage me, edify me, admonish me, or I can hear the tongue of corrupt communication coming out of your mouth, and that will tear me down. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, mm-hmm. but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion.
Right.
So I need to have discernment to know what to say and to whom I say it. It won't be the same words to everybody, just card a block.
Because the purpose is to give grace to those who hear it.
That's right. That's right. So if I encourage you, but I really tear somebody else down, mm-hmm. I'm still in corrupt communication.
Right, exactly.
Because I need to help you build up the other saints. Now, there's a time that I can come to you and say, I believe so-and-so is really struggling in such-and-such a place, and we need to pray. And you might minister to them in one way with certain words. I might come in and minister with different words. But our goal, our heart motive, our intent is the same.
Is to lift them up.
That's right. That's right. And then, here's one, Sharon, that can convict us all, and that's Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgressions is not lacking, mm-hmm. but whoever restrains her lips is prudent. When talking, you can't be listening. And we need to have ears to hear if we're going to hear the heart of the person who has a hurting heart mm-hmm. that needs a sharing heart from someone that really cares.
Yeah.
And so I find that to start off asking someone how they're doing, and if they're saying, oh, I'm maintaining, then I'll say, tell me how, and that will give me some more insights. Or if they'll just say, I'm just getting by, then I don't really need to start 20 questions, but I need to say, tell me where you're struggling. And then I need to shut up and let the gift of discernment listen. And then there will be a time to speak and give forth the encouragement from the word.
Or just a time to go pray. Pray for them right then.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Usually you need to pray before we speak.
Well, then that's true too.
Yes. But James says so much, if we want to get some correction on the use and the misuse of the tongue, the book of the Bible that we really want to look at initially is James. It says so much. So James 3:6 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body.
Wow.
Setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Hell is the source of a tongue speaking for self.
Yeah, that
that's sobering, isn't it?
It is. You think about the things that you say or have said and how they stain your entire body. And that word picture is,
yes, stop and think about a white formal and then a bunch of mud or black ink that somebody mm-hmm. threw on it. It ruins it. Yeah. Do you have, I know you've got your Bible open there. Do you have James 3:2?
James 3:2. I can in just a second. James 3:2 says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. And bridle, means control.
That's right. So if we're talking about a solid foundation that doesn't cause us to trip, I stop and think about a solid foundation, and let's do this word picture. Okay, a solid foundation, but you don't want a bunch of bricks sticking up. Now, it can be a brick foundation solid, but you've got all these things you can stumble over. Mm-hmm. You want a smooth top of that foundation mm-hmm. to build upon. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get an attachment to the structure going up because right. you've got all these jagged pieces sticking up.
Right.
All right. The tongue is our key to being able to start to build on a smooth. Because it says here, if we can get that tongue under control, we're not going to stumble at any place else. It's going to be easier to start to build on a foundation.
The tongue is just such a hard thing to close off. And is it because we just think everybody needs to know what we think?
I need to probably pause on that.
Did I stump you, Janie?
No, but I think we need to think before we speak.
Now that's the problem, though, is that think that people need to hear our opinions, our thoughts, our geniusness.
Well, and yet I'm going to hopefully not destroy our argument here.
Okay.
But there is a learning style, and people then are in conversation and they have a thought. And then they work that thought out as they speak it.
Okay.
All right. And okay. That can be highly dangerous because they actually materialize their thinking as they're just impulsively speaking.
Okay.
And that's why the
and
Bible.
So maybe they say things they're not really meaning. They just are trying to get their thoughts together.
Organized.
Okay.
Organized. Okay.
Okay.
And that's why the Bible says be swift to hear. And slow to speak.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that's also in James.
Yes. Well, like I said, maybe that's where we need to start our book study is in James. But let's do some more examples today, because if our conversations do not have practical application.
Absolutely.
Then we're missing.
They're worthless.
Yes. And a lot of people who are hungry that may not be quite at the same level where we're discussing need that practical application.
Okay.
So we've got three books in the Bible that really give good examples of where we go amok for losing a solid foundation or never getting it to start off with. And the first one is the church at Corinth.
Okay.
If you could do it wrong, they were perfectionist in doing it.
Okay.
They are your, if you want to see what the flesh looks like, go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians especially. And they just didn't do it in little ways. They did it in big, extreme ways.
So if we want to kind of look at our heart and examine our heart, we can go to 1 Corinthians and read through that and just start examining ourselves. Is this me? Is this me? Is this me?
Yeah, and the Bible says examine yourself to see if you're in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the faith is in a person. So I used to think if it says in a faith, it means, are you saved or are you not saved? Well, I know I'm saved, so why am I keep examining my to see if I'm in the faith? If I'm keeping in that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the object of my faith.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
that makes sense.
All right.
Okay.
Then, so the Corinthians were really just little nasty brats.
Okay.
But he called them saints, Sharon. Because he knew their position in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
They had that positional connection, but they were not enjoying the condition of what all they had in him in their daily walk. And so he basically said, you're still babes and carnal with envy and strife and division.
Okay.
And we know that that doesn't make for a solid foundation. Then you go to the Galatians. Now they started off really well. But as they went on and they grew and trials came and conflicts came, they thought, I can't really be comfortable the way I used to be unless we go back and evoke the old rituals. So yeah, we accept Jesus Christ by faith, but then we need to add these things as performance. Well, yeah, you should be able to perform out of love unto Jesus Christ, but not perform out of acceptance for your own acceptance or for your acceptance with Him.
Now, doesn't Paul say, who has bewitched you from,
yes.
from the truth?
Yeah, and bewitched is kind of a tough word, okay? And so they were wanting to return back to the old system of law, grace plus. Law.
Okay.
And then we only have time for probably one more, and that was the Hebrew Christians, and they said, oh, we're saved and we're going to go to heaven. Now let's keep it simple. Let's don't cause conflicts. Let's don't move forward. Let's just keep this little nest egg that we've got that we understand. And some of the toughest words that are said to the church come out of Hebrews. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's addressed to Christians, not non-Christians.
Isn't it say in there to build upon the foundation that you've of salvation in Hebrews? Isn't
yes,
that what that's
Hebrews 6, and it says, let's move on from the
elementary things.
Okay,
yes, that's it.
In other words, you've gone to grade school, go to high school.
Right, right.
Okay.
All right. Well, Janie, I think we've run out of time for today. So will you just say a prayer for us to close us out today?
Yes. Father, we trust you. We love you. We depend upon you. You are light. And Father God, teach us how to grow in you on a solid foundation. In your Son's name, we trust you. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.